Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news.
Thanks so much for tuning into Bravo Happy Hour. Just a reminder that if you're loving the show, head to Apple Podcasts and give the show a 5-star rating and leave a little review. It's super helpful for the show and allows for more Bravo lovers to find out about it. Today's co-host is comedian and author Kate Casey. She's the host of the hit pop culture podcast, Reality Life with Kate Casey, and she recaps your favorite reality shows on her website, loveandknuckles.com. Welcome. This is so exciting for me.
I am so thrilled to talk about all the things that keep me up at night. So I am thrilled to be here and to talk to you and to meet you.
Yay. Well, to get to know you a little bit better, I'm going to ask you 3 questions. What is your favorite show on Bravo?
Oh, my God. It's hard to say because it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, some seasons of some shows are great. Some seasons suck. But I guess I feel like Real Housewives of New York continues to be one of my favorites. So if you were to ask me right now, I'd say Real Housewives of New York, but that might change.
That's usually everybody's favorite. What is your least favorite show?
Although I will say, I also really like Mexican Dynasties right now. I'm really into that show. My least favorite show, I have a hard time getting into Real Housewives of Potomac sometimes. I just feel like I don't really care that much of any of them.
Yeah,
right now.
That's kind of understandable.
It's probably that one.
So,
oh, you know what else? I'm good friends with Steve and McGee, who was on the first 2 seasons of Summer House, and because he's not on the show anymore, I'm not really invested in that show.
Have you watched any of the season?
I watched a little bit and I was really bored. I also feel like Carl is acting. I don't
totally.
I don't really think that's who he is. So yeah. I have a hard time. I do like Lindsay Hubbard a lot, but I don't really care about anybody else.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't think any of them really have any like redeeming qualities or have any like ability to grow like a little bit on these reality shows. I like to see like any sort of inkling that these people like may be good people, but on Summer House everyone's just kind of like an asshole and like a drunk, and it's not always like so fun to watch privileged white people just like getting drunk all the time.
We also feel like they're a little bit too old now, because I'm from back east and the house shares are typically people that are a little bit younger, so I'm much more interested in somebody who is just starting to make money in their career and is still at that phase where they're starting to get to know new people. I feel like at the age that the people that are on the current show are, they've been going there for long enough. They've been in the careers for long enough. They're not really meeting new people. And that's essential for the show, is to have an ongoing rotation of new people, but have strong relationships with the cast that's there. So that's 2 of their problems. One, I don't think the people that are in that house are really friends. And 2,
definitely not.
I'm not really being introduced to people that are in that perfect Summer House Hamptons wheel space, which is like 25 to like 30. That's like the right age. And I think a lot of those people have aged out. I want to see somebody who's about to get married also. I want anybody married on that show. I don't want anybody who's about to get married. I want to see people that are starting to make money, who are single and ready to hook up, and are no way ready for marriage.
So true. Yeah, this season we have like Amanda and what is his name? And Kyle, and they are like gonna get engaged at the end of the summer. And it's like this is so bad. This is already such a train wreck that we're having to watch. You guys date and cheat on each other back and forth, and you know you guys get engaged at the end. It's just kind of sad to see all kind of unfold.
Well, that also, I'm like, are you gonna get engaged because you really want to marry this person, or because you're stressed out enough of a story on a reality show? That's the problem with so many reality shows, is that I think that people who aren't on shows start to live their lives according to a playbook of the show that they're on. Like, I have to make sure that I have to hold off on meaningful life experiences until I'm in the shooting window, or I must come up with something that perpetuates a storyline so that I get a significant enough paycheck based on as much time on camera.
Totally. Well, moving on, what is the Bravo star that you think should come back to a current franchise?
I have to say Simon and Alex from Real Housewives of New York. I really think they're fantastic television. I think they should come back, and I also think that they've had enough time off camera to have perspective, but they're also very clever in the way that they look at different shows. So I think it would be really funny to have them come back and hang out with Tinsley. They always wedge them in this character like they wanted to be in society, and I don't necessarily believe that that was what they wanted. I feel like they wanted their own press, but not to be considered amongst the louder family or the high profile financial families in New York. I think they were happy to be known as like the hipsters of Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I think, like, they always thought that they were, like, cut from a different cloth from the other people, like, with their, like, gothic townhouse. And, like, you go to Ramona's house, and it's, like, so typical Upper East Side. You see her Hamptons home, like, so typical of that kind of look. And the two of them were, like, we're edgy, we're this, we're that. It's, like, okay, guys. But they did bring a certain spice.
So they were not necessarily this couple that wanted an entree into New York society as it was first put out that show. They were not that way at all. And then now they live in Australia. So I'm going to say, actually, I would like to see a Bravo show about Alex and Simon's new life in that area. Byron Bay is supposedly super high profile, gorgeous. I'd like to see a little bit into their life now, because I'm sure that they're friends with super interesting rich people there. I want a reality show about that area. By the way, thank you, or Bravo, you're welcome. I just came up with a great show.
You gotta pitch it.
I know.
Well, speaking of Real Housewives of New York, Bethany Frankel, who is obviously currently still on the show, has been in some hot water with Paris Jackson. So on March 16th, TMZ reported that Paris Jackson, who's obviously the daughter of Michael Jackson, had attempted suicide and was taken to the hospital after she allegedly tried to slit her own wrist after, obviously, the aftermath of Finding Neverland, which is a documentary all about her late father's sexual assault with children. Yikes. So Bethany ended up tweeting, "I am so upset about Paris Jackson, who allegedly attempted suicide. We are the product of our parents' unresolved issues. She's a very loving person who needs help without looking for praise. My heart is with her. I hope she takes away her sadness." And then Paris Jackson responded to Bethany saying, "Lies, lies, lies, oh my God, and more lies." So it was odd that she decided to respond to Bethany out of all the people who can imagine were hitting her up.
I read that totally differently. Okay. First of all, I think that this is my own personal opinion. This is not based on any inside knowledge. I really don't have any. But I just did interview the director of Leaving Neverland. So wow. I feel like I'm knee deep in this kind of drama. I think that someone in the Jackson estate probably put out that information because I think they're frustrated by the amount of money they're losing now because so many people are pulling money from Michael Jackson projects. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way they feel like they can stop chatter about Michael Jackson is to pull on the stories of the kids. Like, you got, like, if we put a story out about Paris doing something to herself, then maybe people will feel bad enough to stop talking about Michael Jackson. Because they tried to say, well, Michael Jackson's dead, so we have to leave him alone. And people didn't really care about that.
Yeah.
So I think that family is so twisted. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it past them for them to put that story out. So I feel like Paris Jackson's response is like, are you kidding me? I did not kill myself. Like, maybe I said, I want this all to stop or something, but like, this is to stop. So I think when she's responding to Bethany, it's because within that hour, TMZ put a story out. And then all of these people, can imagine her Twitter feed is filled with thousands of responses. Paris, don't do it. Don't do it. We love you. And she may or may not really know Bethany well, but this person who has over a million Twitter followers is putting out a message of like hope and love. And she's like, this is a lie. Like, I am fine. Like, this is bullshit. So I think that's probably what was going on. I don't think she really is calling Bethany a liar. I think she's just saying, oh my God, you guys stop. Like, I'm fine.
So true. So then Bethany ended up following up with another person's tweet who said, I don't know, but Paris is calling you out after your post. Bethany then responds saying, well, something is amiss. I will not explain how I know her because that would betray confidence, but something is off here. That I can assure you. So when I saw that, when she said, I will not explain how I know her, I'm like, I guess maybe they have like some inner circles, but you think like Bethany and Kyle knew each other from growing up. Like, there's a good chance that Bethany kind of may have run in a similar circle as Michael Jackson at some point. Maybe not with like little boys hanging around, but like,
I think Bethany is one of those people where she knows everybody. I am telling you, she has connections in Hollywood because she worked with the Hiltons and she lived there for a good period of time. She just is a person who like just knows people. She also knows people in the finance world. But I was with somebody recently and they said that they went on, oh, I know who it was. They went on a trip to Africa for, this is somebody who is a celebrity, but that does a lot of charity work, but never talks about it. And they told me that they went on a trip and Paris Jackson was on this charity trip with them. And she never talked about it. So I do think that that's true. She does a ton of charity stuff, Paris Jackson, but just doesn't talk about it. So I think, one, Bethany probably does know her. But I also think when she's saying something's amiss, I don't think she's talking about Paris. I think she's talking about the family around her.
Yeah, you're probably right. The whole thing makes me uncomfortable. Obviously, like, Paris Jackson's so young. And obviously, like, going through what she's going through with, like, the sad reality that, like,
well, first of all, her dad is being... I don't trust anybody in that family. So imagine, that's the only family that she knows, right? So she's trapped. What she really needs is somebody like me who will let her come and stay at my house and then will protect her and not talk about her personal business. But I think it's really hard for her to do that because every person she meets, she has the Jackson estate breathing down her neck.
Yeah.
She's told all the time, oh, they just want you for your money. And I'm sure there are people that do, but I'm sure there are a lot of people that actually just like her as a human being. And from what I understand from this girlfriend of mine who does charity work that she does too, she says, despite what you would think, she is a very kind, sweet, normal person.
Hmm. Well, hey, I guess we'll just kind of see how that all ends up. You know, obviously, we don't want her to do anything crazy. But speaking of children of, I guess, famous people, quote unquote famous people, Taylor Armstrong from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. If you guys remember her, she was a main cast member on seasons 1 through 3 and then was just a guest from 4 to 6. So her husband, Russell Armstrong, ended up committing suicide after he was accused, well, it was obvious that he was beating Taylor. He was in all this debt, blah, blah, blah. So he ended up committing suicide. And they had a daughter, Kennedy, together, who is now currently 12. And Taylor was on a podcast called Divorce Sucks, which is hosted by Laura Wasser. It's like a celebrity divorce attorney's podcast. And so she was saying that her daughter Kennedy, who I believe was like 6 at the time when he killed himself, that the daughter has no interest in having any memories about Russell. And she said that the psychiatrist keeps telling her to bring up her father and so that she doesn't like forget or disappear that he ever existed. And Kennedy basically said, you know, why would I try to remember someone who would scream punch you? So it was interesting that now her daughter has, you know, obviously kind of saw what was happening, even though it was, quote unquote, happening behind closed doors. And it's kind of powerful that Taylor's actually talking about this publicly. I mean, you're a mother, so you probably have an interesting insight on this.
Well, it's hard to really comment because I've never been in this position. I really think this is the kind of thing that unless you've walked in her shoes, you have no idea how you would react. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a complicated issue because, first of all, her husband was awful, clearly was an awful person.
Yeah.
And she did write a book where she talked in detail about the abuse that she suffered at his, you know, hands. So her daughter, was bound to find out what her father did. And mm-hmm. she has every right, Taylor, to tell her truth. And I do think telling her story was probably enormously helpful to many women who watch that show. And I do appreciate her honesty because here is this show that's about glamour and this like opulent lifestyle. But if you peel the layers back, they're obviously so much commonality to other women throughout mm-hmm. the country. Right. So I do appreciate it wasn't all rainbows and sunshine. And she did say, like, listen, I've been in an abusive relationship. So her daughter's bound to find out. She wrote a book. Their relationship was on television. If you Wikipedia her, she could read about her own father online. But I don't know the intricacies of if your father kills himself, you know, how you approach that from a therapist's perspective. Like, how do you still talk about him? So I don't really know. I just can say that my heart breaks for this little girl because she's had such a rough road. But it sounds like the stepfather that she has probably is very involved in her life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess it sounds to me like the therapist is pushing it a little bit too much. Like, I think we need to kind of let the child dictate how much they want to talk about it.
Certainly. And if Taylor is saying, like, she's like, oh, you know, none of this ever happened in front of Kennedy. And then Kennedy's like, you know, just because my door was closed doesn't mean I didn't hear things.
But she also, again, like, the show's been on television.
Yeah, true.
It's been on television. She wrote a book, and you can read about it on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
So some of those memories are probably from Wikipedia, the show, and the book.
Yeah, I do feel bad for her. But on this podcast, she said that her new husband, who actually helped her throughout like all of her divorce stuff, he wasn't her direct attorney, but I think he was helping her keep everything straight, that he really has taken on like a fatherly role for Kennedy. So I'm just glad at least that she met him when she was probably young enough where she could actually have like a true connection with him and he can maybe take on like a better fatherly role than Russell, who was trash.
You know what is sad? I wonder how much this would have gone on had she never been on the show, right? Because
yeah.
If she's on the show, she's confronted with this horrible secret, right? She's confronting it and she's exposing it to some degree to a viewing public.
Mm-hmm.
So had she never been on the show, how much longer would this have gone on?
Well, exactly. And at least she had the show to give her like money making opportunities. She mentioned in this podcast that he had control over all of the bank accounts. He controlled all of the money. All she had were credit cards, so she couldn't even get cash. And when she was seeking out lawyers and people to help her, once she kind of realized like, oh, shit, I have to get out of here. And like once this airs on TV, like he's going to pretty much go crazy. All of them said, you know, like liquidate all your assets, like get cash, because you're going to have to think of a plan. You're going to have to get an apartment, basically like Dirty John, you know, like you have to have your plan set before you leave because he is an abusive man. Like, you don't know what will happen when you finally address like what's happening in your relationship. Like, he could go crazy, he could hurt her, he could hurt the daughter. So she said she was in this like place where she's like, I have no other option, like I kind of have to stay with him because until I have some money. And then at least hopefully the show gave her some money and then her book, so she probably had some like brand deals or something. But I'm just glad
she's awful. Do you remember in the beginning of that show, though, she said that season that she was on in the beginning, she said that she was a consultant. But he would downplay her company. He'd always say, yeah, whatever. Like, what do you have, two clients? Like,
well, she's...
But he was also committing financial fraud at the same time. So it's exactly. So awful.
Well, I think when once he passed away, she had to pay all of his debts back because they actually never got divorced prior to him killing himself. So once he passed, all of his debt got moved on to her. And she's like, what the fuck? Like...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One, I thought we were rich. Two, you've been abusing me. Three, now you're dead and I have to pay all of your debt back. I have to pay all your mistakes. Like, I could not even imagine. Oof.
What an awful person. But how dare he demean her in those beginning episodes?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't have a real job. Like, screw you.
So many men on these shows do that as if, like, you know, that they have all these, like, fancy jobs. Like Jim Bellino on The Real Housewives of OC. He would always put down Alexis. And then, you know, now it's coming out that, like, she has to pay him child support. It's like, come on, you fucking pigs. Like, you know. Like,
although, I do appreciate, I don't know. Like, a lot of these shows, it's not all opulence. But, like, mm-hmm. It does peel back the layer of people's relationships in some way. And I feel like there's at least one housewife, right, that everybody can relate to. I don't know. It's a different person for everybody, mm-hmm. but I do appreciate that the way that some of these cast members are willing to peel the layer back, and they will look, they get, as much as they get praised, they also get backlash. So to open yourself up to that, you know, I'm not signing up for it, but a lot of people would.
Yeah, no, thank you. Well, moving on to news coming out of Southern Charm, Patricia Altschul, who's obviously just the OG of Southern Charm, has been subpoenaed to testify for Catherine Dennis and Thomas Ravenel's current legal battle over the custody of their 4-year-old daughter, Kenzie, and their 3-year-old son, St. Julian. So Patricia obviously is requesting she not be deposed for this case because she believes that her loyalty has shifted from Thomas to Catherine. So for her to go and stand and agree with Thomas at this point doesn't really seem like it would do Thomas any good. Are you a Southern Charm fan? Actually, wait, yeah, Shep went on your show.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've had Shep, I've had Catherine, I've had Danny, Craig.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Those are, Southern Charm is, I think, probably one of my favorite shows on Bravo. It's just, it's so good. And the whole cast is perfect. I think I'm in love with Shep, actually.
This is what Shep needs. I feel like I've pegged down the kind of girl he needs. He wants somebody who's really, really smart. So if you're going to date him, you need to be able to talk about books. I mean, he comes from a family where all they do is read books. So you have to be able to talk about John Irving and Confederacy of Dunces and different literature is very important to them. He wants somebody who will not pressure him about the lifestyle that he wants to lead. So if you want to be married to somebody who goes to an office 9 to 5, has a retirement, well, he has a retirement plan, but he's not going to go to an office. He's always going to have a kind of job. He will always have a job that works around his schedule. And that might drive a lot of women crazy. And he's also somebody who, like, enjoys cocktails, so.
Well, speaking of, he actually was at a golf tournament down in Florida this weekend, and he was sitting on the 17th hole at this big VIP event, and he drank too much, and the security took him out, and they said he was, like, being completely belligerent. He was pestering guests, and then he got up and was dancing and blocking everybody's views, so he actually got kicked out of the VIP tent, which is amazing. And it's on video. It wasn't that dramatic. He just immediately got out, but I can imagine the person who had to tell on him to be like, dude, we're supposed to be silent.
I think that a lot of these reality stars, they go places and people just give them free things. And I imagine you go to a place like this and then people keep sending you drinks, but for a lot of them, I think it's hard for them to just politely decline. Yes. They just feel bad, like, oh, you just bought me a mint julep, so I'll just drink it. I'll say this about Shep is that he is one of the only people on reality television who will own his mistakes. So he'll say, oh my gosh, I was a real asshole and I'm so sorry, I'm totally embarrassed, I went out, you know, I crossed the line. He'll say it. Most people will not do that.
Yeah, that's pretty true. And I think he also, like, as much as people, like, villainize him for not wanting to get married, it's like, what is he, 38? Like, that's not so crazy old to not be married. Like, I think probably in the South they have different ideas, but, like, I live in New York City. Like, I know people in their late 30s who are just still dating and don't even want to get married, you know? Like, it just seems like they put such a pressure on him, and especially, like, having relationship, which, you know, tanked. Like, he's like, well, I don't want to find a wife just yet. Like, maybe he does, but he doesn't seem like he's really, you know, dying to get tied down. And obviously he doesn't need to, because he's just, like, getting drunk on golf courses and, like, having a ton of fun.
He has a super fun life. I don't know many dudes that would probably give up that kind of life to get hitched and have, like, a crying baby at home. I think he loves being able to travel, go to golf events. Seems pretty great to me.
Seriously, yeah. They do kind of have, like, a dream life. Like, I follow Naomi on Instagram, and she's always, like, doing something beautiful with her hot boyfriend and just their great little life. I'm like, I cannot wait to see what shit is actually happening behind the scenes and actually going to be on Southern Charm, because they bring real true crazy drama. But yeah, I guess Catherine is obviously refusing to go into court with Catherine and Thomas, which is great, because that is so messy already. Like, and I don't think Patricia needs that crap in her life at this point.
I don't know how that'll go. It does seem stupid. I mean, she barely talks to Thomas anymore, and when you have to understand that when she did talk to Thomas, it was a one-sided story. He's just feeding her information that was a complete lie. So it's kind of dumb to bring her in, because she had no information at that point other than his side.
Yeah, I don't think it'll really work for him. And also, like, dude, you're being alleged of so many terrible things, and like if anything, more people will just come out in the future. So I don't think anyone's really believing him.
Yeah.
But staying in the somewhat South, the Real Housewives of Potomac trailer for season 4 aired this week. Obviously, you said you don't think Potomac is your fave. However, this season trailer is so good for the upcoming season. I am so excited. I kind of think this show and Dallas, too, like, they don't get, like, the love from Bravo fans because it's not, like, an OG city or whatever. But I really think Potomac is lightning in a bottle, especially last season. Last season was just so good, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm not really. I can't agree with you. I will say I've interviewed Robin and kind of kept in touch with her, and I really like her. But it's, I just feel like there's not that much going on in that city. So, it's weird for me. I have to tell you, it's weird though, but because I lived in Washington D.C. for a long time, so it's just. It's like my husband works in technology. He doesn't want to watch the show Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it doesn't really mirror the DC that I had. I mean, they're just going around to cocktail parties, and I'd really like to see the real DC, the people that are working in policy. But of course, they're too private to do so. So I don't know. I'm just not as much into that city.
Well, I'm excited to see how they play out with the Ashley and Michael Darby abuse claim. So, like, back on episode 1 of the show, and then follow up on episode 3, we talked about how Michael was allegedly grabbing the camera guy's ass while they were on set one day, which is crazy. It's like, of course he'd do it to the camera guy who literally could just point his camera at you and catch it. But the charges were allegedly dropped. However, I don't know who's in the right, but obviously all the ladies address it with Ashley, and she starts obviously bugging out. Now they're accusing her of drinking too much, which they do a lot of that on this show. Even though as I say that, I'm like, wait, no, that's literally the plot line of all of New York City right now. So I guess most of the shows just kind of
put drinking problems. Like, all these shows, they drink way more than I can imagine. I mean, I'm like, I have like one margarita and I have to go to sleep, so I cannot understand it at all. I think that Ashley, I don't think she's really in love with that guy. I think she just wanted a baby. So now that she's pregnant, I think she's got what she wants, and she'll probably end up divorcing him.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And last year they had that whole thing where it was like, this is our contract. If we break up after 5 years, this is what you get. This is what you get if you don't make it to 5 years, and this is what you get. So she's probably like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me stay with this guy, get my 5 years in, get a baby out of it. Well, that's 18 years of money. And then, you know, we can kind of see where our marriage goes. But he's like literally in his 70s. So, and
yeah,
she's
I don't think she even cares about it. I don't think she even cares about his money. I think she just wanted to be a mom.
Yeah, well, I reported on my last show, she just recently opened up about how she was, like, sexually abused throughout her whole childhood and how, like, her childhood was just so fucked up. So she's probably wanting to maybe give a child a good life. I don't know. It makes me sad, but I really like her. And then we kind of see all the girls, they take a cash trip to New Orleans, which who knows what that'll be like. Giselle is there. She finally calls out Robin and Juan for still being on and off together, which at this point, it's like, why do they keep bringing it up? Like, obviously, Robin's not going to change her relationship status
also,
with Juan.
Like, who cares? Like, who cares? So what? I mean, they have kids together. I mean, that's great. If they're having sex, awesome. Probably they're kids are going to be happy about, like, at the end of the day, does it really piss you off if somebody else is having sex or not? Like, who cares?
Right. I don't know. I guess the only problem would be if, like, Juan is still, like, cheating on her and, like, hooking up with other girls. Like, I wonder what that situation
is. No, but, like, who cares? Like, that's her problem, not mine. Who cares, you know?
Seriously. I mean, that will be her entire storyline. So we will get, like, 15 episodes of that. And then Monique's
I will say this. Juan is one of the cutest housewives or husbands.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He's a fox.
He's really cute.
Monique is pregnant. Who cares? Candace is getting married. Who cares? Karen Huger, nothing really other than just, like, being dramatic.
I don't think Karen's really in love with her husband. I think she should. She'd be much more interesting on TV if she divorced that old man and started dating.
I totally agree.
And if she moved to a new city. Like, get out of D.C. If Karen Huger moved to New York City and started a new life as a single woman in New York City, I'd watch that show. But this show, she's super boring.
I'd want, like, her and Ramona Singer to go on, like, singles dates and, like, go to singles bars together.
Yeah, I would like to see Karen work for, like, in the publishing industry or something and start dating. That would be interesting. But I don't feel like she's happy in D.C. And she's not kidding me with this marriage. I just don't see her that happy. I always love a baby. So if somebody's having a baby, I'm thrilled for them. Monique just seems too, like, normal. I mean, she's nutty, obviously, if she's on TV. But she's not that compelling. I don't know. And then who's the other one?
Candace, the new girl.
Candace, I just find her totally unlikable. I don't like spoiled, bratty 30-year-old women. I don't like it. It's just like, get off the TV. And I don't want to see a season of her mother. She's upset with her mother because her mother's in her life. It's like, well, you've had her pay your bills all these years. Yeah. So you're the ding-dong that allowed it.
Yeah, and I mean, I just remember watching last season and all of, like, the budgeting and, like, being like, why won't my dad give me an extra $75,000? It's like, well,
By the way, I didn't believe any of that. Yeah. I don't really. I think it was all exaggerated for television. I don't think she spent that money on her wedding. I think if you're going to spend that much money on a wedding, you're dumb. Spend that money on a down payment for a house. Like, no one is going to care in a couple of years, you know, what kind of table sconces you had or if you had Moe champagne at your wedding. Like, just go elope.
I totally agree. Well, season 4 comes back to Bravo on Sunday, May 5th at 9 p.m., which is also great. Sunday prime time at 9 p.m. It's a good
slot. Oh, I will say this. The Katie storyline, now that's compelling.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but at the same time, I'm like, should she be on television? Because something is really going wrong.
Yeah, I don't think she really needs to be back on television, like, for her own mental health. However, I'm so excited to watch what goes down, because she goes on the cast trip to New Orleans, and God knows, you know, New Orleans is basically just known for, like, obviously it's beauty, but, like, you know, going out and drinking and partying nonstop. So I can imagine.
Something like that story, something's off, and I don't know if I feel good about that being on TV.
No, I don't really either. I think she needs probably to take a step back. But speaking of a new show that's actually coming to Bravo, obviously Below Deck and Below Deck Med are huge successes for Bravo. They are going to be expanding their franchise with a new show with the working title Below Deck Sailing Vessel. So according to a casting agency, Below Deck is looking for yachties who are sailboat trained. So I guess it's going to set sail around Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard, which is obviously on the East Coast. And they're looking for a chef, stews, deckhands, first mate, you know, the whole thing, and a female deckhand. So I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, Cape Cod's like one of my favorite places in the world. My friend Khaki Twist, that's her real name, she and her husband have been in the yachting industry for a long time. And I texted her today to ask her what she thought about this. And she said, yachting and sailing are like these sailboats, like it's two different worlds. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. One of my favorite interviews was with the guy that created Below Deck.
Oh, and you had one with him?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's one of my favorites. Ooh, he's created so many awesome Surreal Life, Flavor of Love, the Brett Michaels show, but he also created Below Deck, and he explains how they came up with the idea for the show, how they produce it. And I think that they have had such a great idea for a show. I am more compelled by the charter guests than I am with the actual staff. Like that doesn't really interest me so much as the weird people that come on board the charters.
And I think it's totally probably a different crowd of people who would go on a sailboat versus like a mega yacht. You know, it's probably like waspier and a little.
I know, but that's my favorite. I love waspy
same.
People. I want to see waspy all day long.
Same.
I want to see people get on with Vineyard Vine flip flops on and Black Dog sweatshirts.
Yes.
Who have old money and lots of secrets. Yeah, I think that's going to be, that might be one of my favorites.
Yeah, this is going to be good. And also, obviously, a sailboat is just so much smaller. The galleys, the stew stations, living quarters, everything is tighter. So you can just imagine that all of the drama will probably just be amplified. And also, I love on, like, current seasons of Below Deck, I like when the crew is having an argument and then, like, the guests are kind of watching the crew have arguments and kind of freak out. Like, I get pleasure out of that, them being like, wow. You know, these people are so unprofessional. They're screaming at each other from the galley, or I don't know any of the boat terms. But it should be interesting, and I'm excited to watch. And obviously, it'll probably be filming this summer, I'm assuming. If it's going to be Cape Cod, they need to film in the summertime.
Definitely in the summertime. Otherwise, it's pointless. It's so beautiful there. It is so beautiful there.
It's just going to be more luxury porn and places I want to go, just adding to the list.
I know, so good. I do love a Yaspi story, though.
Oh, same. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Kate. This was so great. Where can people find you and listen to your show?
My show's called Reality Life with Kate Casey. It comes out every Friday. I interview people on reality shows, producers, directors, and then I have two segments where I force somebody to watch a show, a reality television show. It's often hilarious. This week, my guests are the director of Leaving Neverland on HBO. I have a review of Sister Wives and Outdaughtered on TLC. And the next week's episode is with the director, creator of Hard Knocks on HBO, which is the show where they go behind the scenes of an NFL training camp.
Yeah, I've heard that one's actually pretty good. That show.
And then I have a guy who's a stand-up comic who's never watched an episode of Real Housewives of New York, so that should be funny too. And then you can go to Facebook and check out my Facebook page for my podcast, Reality Life with Kate Casey. And then I'm on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows during the week. And my Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. My website is loveandknuckles.com.
Yay. Well, thank you again so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So fun.
Thanks so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you love the show, be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you have any hot takes, gossip, or info about Bravo TV, feel free to shoot me an email at bravohappyhourpod@gmail.com. While you're at it, make sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks so much for listening, and check back every Monday and Thursday for a new episode all about your favorite Bravo celebrities.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.